grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a passage in the epistle of 1 John in the third chapter which says, "For this cause was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." In Genesis 3:15, which we've been thinking about for the past couple of weeks, we read of God's promise to send the seed of the woman, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who would crush the head of the serpent despite having his own heel bruised. And so it is, right from the early chapters of the book of Genesis, there is a promise from God to lost and condemned sinners that God has a plan for our eternal salvation, our deliverance from the power of sin, death, and the devil. And Jesus is that Savior. He is that one who comes to destroy the work of the devil. Now, Jesus cast out devils from many, many, many people during his earthly ministry. Here in our gospel lesson, we just learn of one demon-possessed person who is delivered by Jesus. And the story is told not so much to tell the story about the demoniac's release from demonic dominion, but because of the reaction to Jesus' work, all right? And this is important for us. So it says, he was casting out a devil and it was dumb. In other words, the demon rendered this man unable to speak. And so once the devil was cast out, the man who was rendered dumb, he spoke clearly, and all the people who saw this, they wondered. So Jesus sets a man free from the devil, which is a sign for us that he is the one and the only one who sets us free from sin, from eternal death, and from the devil. All right, so that's the important thing. This demoniac being set free is a picture for you and me of how Jesus frees us from the bondage that we are held in by the fact that we are conceived and born in sin. So it says that the people wondered, but some of them, those Pharisees, those scribes, you know those guys, they always have something to say. And here they say, "We know why he can do this. He's in league with the devil. Jesus is a sorcerer. He is a witch. He has made an arrangement with the devil so that whoever he casts, whatever devil he casts out, he will the devil will obey Jesus. And so he's in league with the devil. Don't be fooled by this faker." Right? That's what they're basically saying. So that's number one. Others, it says in our text, others, it says, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. Now Jesus did many notable miracles. Most of these miracles were done in the pure light of day, surrounded by multitudes and multitudes of people. He did many miracles when his enemies, the scribes and the Pharisees, were standing there watching it. Jesus was just popping with signs from heaven that he is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But they're not satisfied. They want him to do a sign from heaven at their beck and call. so that they can, because they want him to say no to them, and then they can say to the people, you see, he claims to be something, but he won't even do one little magic trick for us. He won't even do one little thing when we ask him to, right? Forget about the fact that in almost every day, in almost every way, Jesus is constantly healing the most dramatic diseases, right? Go and tell, remember earlier in the year, go and tell John what you do see and hear. The deaf hear, the blind receive their sight, the dead are raised up, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. These were common occurrences that happened. So when they ask, do a sign from heaven at our beckoning, they are only tempting him this way so that he will refuse to do it. And then he can see, you see, we knew he wouldn't do it, and you knew he wouldn't do it too. What kind of Messiah is this who doesn't even know when the right time is to do a miracle? You see, people, when it comes down to it, people believe what they want to believe, and they don't believe what they don't want to believe in. You know, we like to think that everything that we do is because of sound reasoning and well thought out actions on our behalf. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible teaches us that men love darkness rather than the light. And that is why they do not come to the light, because if they come to the light, their evil deeds will be made manifest. And therefore they will not come to Jesus, because they don't want to come to Jesus. Well, what happened to you and me? God's grace broke through. Thanks be to God. And we have been transformed from unwilling sinners to those who are willing and desirous of believing. This is the work of grace. This is the power of the Holy Ghost. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So, why do these people react this way to Jesus? Because they don't want a Messiah like him, right? He does not fulfill what they think a Messiah ought to do. You've heard people in the modern world say, if God is so all-powerful, why does he allow so many bad things to happen? And of course, you know, the answer to that is somewhat complex, but boils down to the fact that you and I are living in a fallen and sinful world. That must never be forgotten. The world is not populated by good people, all right? The world is populated by sinners, and sinners do sinful things, and they often bring upon themselves the retribution that sinners bring upon themselves. All right, now I'm not getting into the whole subject right now, but I just wanted to let you know that in this world, this is not a world full of good people who have bad things happen to them. It's a world full of fallen people under the curse of sin who sometimes experience bad things. So anyway, these people, they are dead set against Jesus. So what does Jesus have to say? First of all, he knows their thoughts, and he tells them, first of all, your idea about me and Satan is absurd. Because if Satan is divided against himself, his kingdom falls apart. If Satan is divided against Satan, his kingdom falls. So therefore, your whole argument there is wrong. And secondly, he says, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, who do your guys cast them out by? You know, there were Jewish exorcists in the land of Israel. The Pharisees and the scribes were completely willing to say that their exorcisms were of God, but Jesus's, which were the same thing with the same results, Jesus's were from the devil, but their guys, they were from God. And so Jesus says to them, so if I'm in league with the devil, who are your guys in league with, right? And he says, so therefore they will be your judges. All right, so Jesus dismisses their enmity. And then he begins to explain the entire situation. He says, all right, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. So after he sweeps aside their argument against him, he says, now, if I cast out devils with the finger of God, then you cannot escape the fact that God's kingdom is present in me and among you through me. All right? So that's the truth of the matter. His casting out devils with the finger of God, that means that Jesus was able to cast out devils with the ease with which God would wiggle his little fingers, you see? And so he says, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. And therefore, don't waste your opportunity. Turn, repent, believe, and receive it. The kingdom of God is among you. If I with the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of God has come upon you. And then he says this. He says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. That's describing the devil. The devil is like he's like the head of a cartel. You know, that's the big stuff in the news, right? The cartels, right? Well, the devil is like one of those big bosses. He's one of those big criminals who runs an empire, right? And when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But, Jesus says, when a stronger than he shall come upon him, Jesus is now talking about himself. I am stronger than the devil, and I am from God. So I am the one who delivers from the devil. I have come to destroy the works of the devil. And so he says, when a stronger than he shall come upon him, notice the word, come upon him. Jesus is on the attack. He's not on the defense. Jesus is going after sin. He's going after death. And he's going after the devil in order to be our victor. You know, when we sing in a mighty fortress, that we stand on the battlefield and by our side is Lord God Sabaoth, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That's what we're referring to, that Jesus is the one who goes after and wages war on our behalf. He comes upon him, he overcomes him, he beats him, and he taketh from him all his armor, he disarms him, wherein he trusted, and he divides his spoils. The Lord vanquishes the devil and frees the prisoners and sets everyone at liberty against death, against the devil, and against sin. So the devil has had us in his dungeon, and Jesus has come to release us, to divide the spoils. That's the last thing you do when you conquer an enemy, is you divide up the spoils. So Jesus describes himself as the stronger one who comes to defeat the strong man who held us all in captivity. That. And then Jesus says, after he says that, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scatters. So there's no neutral ground. You are either with Jesus or you are against Jesus. You are either one of his faithful by faith, or you are among his enemies. even if you don't personally realize it, all right? Even if you don't personally realize it, there are people in the world today who think they're doing God a favor while they live lives and while they advocate practices that are clearly revealed in Scripture to be godless, to be evil, and to be wicked. But they think that by their life and by their choices, they are doing God a favor. They think that they are among the awake. They think that they are among the good. They think that they are among the righteous. And yet, they are dead in sin and captive to the devil. And so it is here. Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're against me. And if you're not gathering together with me, you are scattering. And then he gives the experience of the spiritual decadence and decay of a person whom God comes to with the offer of grace, but who wastes it. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, so when a person is set free from demonic possession, he walks through dry places seeking rest, not the man, but the demon. Demon goes out into the desert and wanders around looking for a place to rest, but he finds none because there is no place for devils to rest. All right? He finds none. He says, I will return to my house whence I came out. So let me go stop by that guy that I once possessed and see how he's doing. And lo and behold, because this person who was set free from the devil's grasp did not receive the Holy Spirit and did not receive saving faith and did not receive the grace of God, but remained empty. Now when the devil comes back, he finds this man, his heart is swept and clean and decorated and waiting for an occupant, right? And so it says, he goes and he finds seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they all move in together, and they dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. You see, we either by the grace of God receive forgiveness, life, salvation, and the Holy Ghost at the promise of Jesus by means of his word and sacraments, or we remain empty after being set free from the devil. We remain empty and faithless, and then we go slowly but surely from bad to worse to hell. All right? From bad to worse to hell. So Jesus now has finished with this interchange, and the story ends on this happy little note. There's this lady in the crowd. You've met this one woman before, right? And she is so overcome with Jesus and his gracious words that she says, well, I'll kind of shorten it and make it a little bit less graphic, all right? He said, boy, your mom is really blessed to have a son like you. All right, that's basically what she said. She blurts this out at the top of her lungs. Blessed is your mother, right? And Jesus now, he answers her. Notice that he says, but he said, yea, rather. First, he agrees with her, yes, my mother is blessed to be my mother and to have me as a son. What you say is true, but there's something even more important than being physically related to Jesus. There's something more important than that, and that is, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Or blessed are they that are hearing the word of God and are keeping it. All right? So that's That's the difference here, is that those who are called, those who are invited, those who are brought in and gathered by the Holy Spirit are those who are hearing and keeping the word of God. And so for your sakes, for my sakes, for the whole world's sakes, really, Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. And by engaging them in this debate, Jesus is actually warning them and desiring that they too will cease their opposition to him and come by the grace of God into the kingdom that has drawn near in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus, right up till the very end, desires the salvation of all sinners. He is not desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it is that we have come to repentance. We believe in Jesus. We are sure that he is the one come to conquer the devil on behalf of lost and condemned creatures. But there are many others who have not yet. God grant that many will come and many will know the Savior of the world, the conqueror of the devil, the one who sets us all free. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.